I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We start the class with a confession because you don't want to wait till two-thirds class over to decide, oh yeah, something's happening now. Now go ahead and release your faith in the beginning. And receiving the word, you know, you can have wonderful things ministered to you, but that doesn't mean you're receiving them. Having something given to you is not the same thing as receiving it. And we receive by faith. And so when it comes to the things of the world, you don't want to be open to that. But when it comes to the things of God, you want to be wide open and you want to be receptive. So, Father, we do. We, by faith, we open up our hearts and minds and beings to you and ask you to pour into us your anointing, your word, your truth, your grace, your goodness. We ask for utterance and eyes and ears that can see and hear and everything that you would and what you know we need most right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, if you would go to our master text on this series that we've been for a while, we're calling it 30 Reasons Why We Are Sure Abundant Provision Is Always God's Will For Us All. It's faith for provision. Faith works the same in every area. The faith that's in us as a believer is actually a measure of God's very own faith. It's a measure, not the whole thing obviously, but a measure of the faith God created the universe with. And He put some of that in us. Hallelujah. Well, if He can create galaxies and stars and all of this, we should be able to believe to pay a bill.
Amen.
What do you think? Amen. Or overcome a physical challenge or an emotional challenge. And it is faith that makes you the overcomer. The scripture says that, you know, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And that we've been born overcomers. And the thing that overcomes the world, the scripture says, even our faith. Well, that shouldn't be surprising. It's a measure of God's own faith. No wonder it could overcome anything in the world. With enough grace and enough faith, you can come through anything. You can overcome anything. You can get free of anything. You can receive anything. Nothing's too big for the faith of God. Well, your faith must be fed in every area. You might have strong faith that you're on your way to heaven, that you're saved, that your sins are washed away. But that wouldn't mean that you had faith to be healed, or faith to pay your bills, or even faith to be protected, naturally speaking. I mean, every area requires faith in that area. The reason you would have faith that you're saved and your sins are washed away and that you're on your way to heaven would be because you've heard that. And heard it more than once. And you heard it, and you heard it, and you thought about it, and you talked it, and you said it, and you heard it, and your faith got strong. Well, if you never hear anything about God's will for your provision, your faith's going to be weak or non-existent in that area. And so that's why we're camping on this for a while. How many think you need faith for the material part of your life?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Certainly you do. You need faith for your body, for the physical part. You need faith for your emotions and your mental state and your soulical state. You need faith for your relationships. You need faith for protection. You just need faith for everything. What do you think? The just shall
live.
If you want to live, you need some faith. And so we're about to the middle of this series. And what we are doing is one by one giving 30 reasons, not opinions, scriptures, 30 truths, great truths of scripture from the Word of God, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you just say that out loud and see how it sounds to you.
Abundant provision
is always God's will
for us all.
Say it again. Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
Amen. Every day, every way, every area, everything. Poverty is not of God. It is not. It's a curse. We'll study that more later, but it's not good. It's bad. God's a good God. He's not a bad God. And He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, good thoughts, to give you an expected end. God's got a good plan for us, and that good plan consists of good things. Well, is it good to have your bills paid or bad? Huh? Is it good to have clothes to wear and food to eat and a place to stay?
Yes.
Or is it bad?
Yes.
Is it good to be able not only have your needs met, but to be able to give?
Yes.
Help other people.
Yes.
Help preach the gospel.
Yes.
Help build the church.
Yes.
Good?
Good.
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 If it's good, it's God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if it's good and it's God, that's His will for you,
yes,
for me. So our first point was from Psalm 23. And, you know, who doesn't like the 23rd Psalm? I don't care what group you're in, what denomination you're in. I hadn't come across anybody yet that said, I don't like that 23rd Psalm. Hadn't seen that yet. Well, the very first verse of the 23rd Psalm, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. I often run out. I'm frequently in need. And behind, no. The Lord is my shepherd. I what?
I shall
not want. And that word want is the same word numerous times in the same King James Bible translated lack. Same word. I shall not lack. In fact, other translations render it that way. Young's literal said, Jehovah's my shepherd, I do not lack. The NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Holman says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Mm-hmm. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
The NIV Reader's Version says, the Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. The BBE says, the Lord takes care of me as His sheep. I will not be without any good thing. Well, that agrees with other scriptures. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The easy to read says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. Somebody said out loud, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
I will always
have everything
I need. Why?
Because
the Lord is my shepherd. He's my provider. He's my leader. He's my guide. He's my protector. He's my comforter. He's my shepherd. Everything I need. And in John 10, there's a whole chapter there about him being the good shepherd. The good shepherd. He said in John 10:10, he said, the thief doesn't come unless he's coming to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come Hallelujah. Woo. Yeah, the enemy tries to come, but it don't compare with the Lord coming. Is that right? And the Amplified puts it like this. I am come that you might have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows. Does that sound like lack?
No.
You can't get lack out of that. You can't twist lack out of that. That's abundance any way you look at it. He talks about if you'll give, it'll come back to you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. He is the God of more than enough. He's the running over God, not the running out God. So that was our first point, and we spent some time on that. And if you weren't with us, go online to faithschool.org, and all of these, there are hundreds of previous faith messages there. No charge, no cost. You don't have to commit to anything. It's available because of our partners and the goodness of the Lord. It's available to you at no charge. But you can catch up with us because we're about halfway through the series. That was number one. Number two was the goodness of God. We camped on that and shouted about that. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. You know how much poverty there is in heaven?
Zero.
Zero. Anybody hungry? Anybody starving? Doing with that? And did you know he said that we're to pray, your will be done on earth like it is in heaven? Number six, we talked about the God of Abraham. If you had Abraham here today, and we could all ask him, Abraham, do you think God ever wants you broke? Abraham, you think God would make you poor to teach you things? Abraham would go, God I know made me rich.
That's right.
Is that right? Rich, rich, rich. And made his kids rich and his grandkids rich.
Yes.
Huh? They wouldn't agree with you that poverty is sometimes the will of God. Number seven, we talked about we are the seed of Abraham. Actually, the blessing of Abraham now belongs to us believers through Jesus Christ. Then we talked about the blessing of tithing. He said if you'll tithe, he would open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. There wouldn't be room enough to receive it, and he would rebuke the devourer for your sake. Does that sound like being broke? Does that sound? No, that's abundance. That's plenty. We talked about honor and riches. How that he said, if you honor me, that you know your barns will be filled with plenty. Your presses will overflow with new things. We talked about wisdom and wealth. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes is full of revelation about if you will act wisely, you will increase. And you'll be rich. If you act a fool, you'll be broke and lose things. Well, now, if we act wisely, but then we find out God wants us to be broke, that's confusing.
That's right?
Yes. Right? That's not what he told us in scripture after scripture. And how many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us who could say, if we had been wiser in past times and made better choices and decisions, we'd be in better shape financially. Well, you can't change that, but you can change some things going forward. We can ask God for wisdom, and we can stop missing it, and we can stop wasting resources, and we can increase, build. You're supposed to build year by year. You're not supposed to go start over from scratch every couple of years. You're supposed to get in the will of God, stay in the will of God, and increase. Year to year, decade to decade. We talked about being imitators of God. We talked about God being the great I am, that number 12. And number 13 led us into the names of God. And we went one by one through nine different names, these compound redemptive names, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Yireh, these different names, and every one of them you could see provision. Not a one of them. There is no Jehovah, broke. Huh? Jehovah cheapo. Right? Doesn't fit with Jehovah. right? You got Jehovah involved, you've got endless resources. Is that right? You've got boundless, unlimited, unrestricted ability. And he told his people, first covenant, and he told us, and he spoke it through the prophets, and he revealed it through these names that we went through nine of them plus the first two, and there are many more besides that. But every one of them revealed the character of a good, liberal, generous, blessing God. Is that the God you know?
Yes.
The good God.
Yes.
The blessing God. And the blessing of the Lord makes rich, the scripture said. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, that catches us up to where we are today. And like I said, as you might imagine, there's quite a lot we've already covered. So if you haven't been with us, go to the website, faithschool.org. Take advantage. Get caught up. We're down now to reason number 14, I guess it is. Number 14, and that is, we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because God is the God of restoration. He's the God of restoration. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Go with me to the book of Joel, please. Joel, the second chapter. And let's talk about this and get ready to receive some restoration. Thank you, Lord. Does restoration sound good
yes.
to you? It is. It's a wonderful thing. You'll see that what we're talking about as we get into this, we're talking about the mercy of God and the graciousness and the goodness of God. He actually, the scripture says, we'll look at this a little bit later, but he delights, the scripture says, in showing mercy. Now, mercy is not something you deserve. Mercy is not something that's owed to you. If you always do everything right, you don't need mercy. You could get by on justice. You know when you need mercy? When you've messed up, when you haven't done everything right. You've done some things wrong. You didn't listen. You didn't obey. You didn't pay attention. You've sowed some bad stuff. And if you reap what you sow, you're in trouble. You're in for some bad and hard times. And people say, well, you got to reap what you sow. Not if somebody else reaped it for you. That's what mercy is all about. If you have to reap what you sow, no matter what, the wages of sin is death, he's not just talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. He's talking about separation from God. He's talking about judgment. He's talking about going to hell. Well, don't raise your hand, but if you've sinned, that means you sowed it, and the wages of sin is death, then you got to die spiritually. You have to be, not if somebody took your place, not if somebody took the judgment. Somebody else reaped what you sowed. We sowed the sin. He reaped the judgment. Woo. So we get mercy, not judgment. Oh, we don't deserve it, but because he did what he did, we get what we don't deserve. And part of that is restoration. That's mercy. Restoration has to do with recovery of things that have been lost, things that have been taken, things that have been stolen, things that have been destroyed. And the amazing thing about God is that He actually delights in situations where it looks hopeless. And it's looks like it's too far gone, and it's been lost, and the person involved doesn't deserve any help. And yet, if they will call on Him, hallelujah, if they'll call on Him and repent when they need to and believe on Him, It glorifies him when he can come in and recover a situation that everybody thought was a lost cause. That he can bring it not just back to where it was, but even better than what it was before everything went wrong. This glorifies God, brother, sister. This magnifies his greatness, his goodness. It reveals his character. He is the God of restoration. Everybody said out loud, thank you, Father, for being the God of mercy. The God of restoration. Hallelujah. And I'm liking this. How about you? Joel 2 and 21. This is the word of the Lord that came through the prophet Joel. And later on in this same chapter, he talked about the time was going to come when he was going to pour out his spirit. And actually, you see the prophecy fulfilled in the book of Acts right here and still being fulfilled today about him pouring out his spirit. This is what comes before that. Verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. Why? For the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. The tree bears her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. This is revealing the blessing of the Lord on his creation. Instead of there being drought and famine and disease, this is revealing God's blessing of rain and good conditions and freedom from pestilence and all that kind of stuff. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Now that's the second time he said it. Mm-hmm. Be glad and rejoice. Mm-hmm. When the Lord says that, what should you do? Should you read it and go, yeah, that's good. No, you're not doing what he told you to do. Huh? Mm-hmm. What should we do if the Lord says, be glad? Be glad what? Be glad. Well, quit thinking about stuff that's bringing you down. Mm-hmm. Quit being depressed, mm-hmm. right? Quit being negative. Be glad what? Well, be glad, yeah. right? And rejoice. Somebody say, be glad. Rejoice. You know that can totally change your day. No matter what's going on, you could be in the middle of some really bad stuff, and if you just get a hold of yourself and say, quit that. Quit looking at that. Quit looping that and replaying that for the 100th time. Get your eyes on God and be glad and rejoice. Why? Back up to verse 21. Be glad and rejoice. Why? For the Lord will do great things. That's why I'm rejoicing. That's why I'm getting stirred up. Yeah, but you got bad things. Yeah, but he's going to do good things. He's going to do great things, yes. and they're going to eclipse yes. the bad things. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Man, that's everything you need to start your crop and grow it and finish it out. Yes. Rain is a... this is typifying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests like water. He manifests like mist or like cloud or like vapor or like rain. And it can be dew or it can be a downpour. But as we know, naturally speaking, on the earth, without water, there's no life. Without water, things dry up. And they wither and they die. But even when something has been neglected and something has been withheld from, it might have lay parched for years. Oh, but when the soft rains of blessing come upon it, things begin to change immediately. And you can see areas on the earth that, you know, hadn't seen a drop of water in years sometime. But when that rain does finally come, next thing you know, little flowers are popping up here and there. Life springing forth. The Lord is doing great things. Yes. And the floors will be full of wheat. and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Does this sound like broke?
No.
No broke here. This is full. Full and overflowing. Look at verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you might add, if you read the previous thing of this, because they had absolutely forsaken their God and replaced him with idols and every kind of evil thing. They did it to themselves. God didn't quit them. They quit him and pulled away from him and wound up drying up, withering away, cursed. But what he's saying is, I'm going to fix you. Amen. Hallelujah. In spite of all that, because now they're coming back to him, they're repenting, and he's saying, it's time for you to rejoice. I know you don't see it all yet, but it's already in motion. It's time for you to rejoice. Why? I will restore to you. Somebody say, I will restore to you. When the Lord says, I will restore to you the years. Oh, did you hear that?
Yes.
Years. Oh, what a gracious God. What a merciful God. He's able not just to restore you so that you're no longer being destroyed, but to bring you back to where you were and recover everything you should have been reaping for previous years. Restoring the years that got eaten up, the years that got wasted. If God enjoyed seeing lack and loss, he wouldn't be into the restoration. Right? He'd just be go, yeah, you lost a bunch of things. That'll teach you. No. God is saying, come to me. Let me rain blessing on you. Let me soften up the hard, parched ground. Let me bring life back to it. Not only get you alive and going again, but let's go ahead and recover everything from previous years that you lost. You thought was gone forever, but I know where it is, and I'm going to restore it to you. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to the God of restoration. Said out loud, I live by faith, I walk by faith, I overcome the world by faith, I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Our time's up again, but come back tomorrow. We're just getting introduced into this. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.